Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds so that as we see your defeat of temptations as powering us to fight temptation in your name. Amen. I love Oreos. In fact, I love all chocolate. And that's why this year I decided that for Lent I'm going to give up chocolate. Now, normally I don't follow that age-old practice of giving up something for Lent. In fact, for years my response is that the thing I give up for Lent every year is giving up things for Lent. But this year I was really thinking about the whole notion of self-sacrifice. And that's part of what the tradition is. In a very, very small, obviously tiny way, we begin to, by denying ourselves, understanding a little bit about Christ's sacrifice. But it also means some discipline. It's a method of trying to control our wants. And, well, since I'm trying to lose a little weight, I thought this might be a good time. So on Tuesday this past week, I firmly decided that I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent. And I'm going to start doing that today. Well, I had a bowl of Cocoa Puffs this morning. I'm sorry. So I'm going to start tomorrow. You know, it strikes me that the real issue in giving things up for Lent is dealing with temptation. Now, right now on my desk, I have several Kit Kat bars. And I intend to keep them there because I'm going to use that as a way to have that discipline to fight against temptation and to resist that. Temptation is, in fact, a big part of our life with Christ. Temptation is something that we struggle with, all of us. It is a daily battle. Well, obviously in our gospel text we read about Jesus in his own struggle with temptation out in the wilderness. And that text is really good news for us. The gospel writer tells us that when Jesus was baptized, he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting. And after that time, he was tempted by the devil. Verse 1 and 2, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, the dialogue between Jesus and Satan is well known to us. But each of those three temptations really is a reflection or parallel to the kind of temptations you and I face. The devil tempts us to the notion of self-indulgence. Turn these stones into bread. He tempts us into this sense of giving ourselves our own power or setting us up for our own importance. And that's where all the nations in the world would belong to Christ if he worshiped the devil. And finally, the third temptation is this idea of developing, well, God in our own image. Worshipping God in the way we want to. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from the top of the temple. See, Christ's temptations reflect those same temptations in our lives. See, we live in a country where the self-indulgence is part of the norm. We live in a country where people say, I deserve something from the world. The world owes me something, and I should get it without working for it. Or we say, I have the right to get what I want, when I want, as much as I want it. And no one has the right to stop me. Sank a temptation of empowering or seeing ourselves more powerful than we really are is echoed in the world by saying, hey, I'm in control of my own world. No one can lay any God-given right but mine. As a person, I can live the way I want and decide to live. Well, with that second temptation, and really the first, I can respond with two statements. First of all, this sense of we have the right to do what we want. Well, that's a personal freedom that we in America have. But it's a right that has been granted to us with the sacrifice and the service of so many men and women in our armed forces. But second, this personal freedom aside, we don't live in an island. We live in a community where there are other people who share concerns, and we're called to live our life in Christ in a balance between our individual rights and sharing with the community's concern. The last of the three temptations is this development of making God into our own image, a religion by our own identity. And that's something in today's world really hits home. See, the Christian church around the world is under attack. We are seen as an institution that forces our beliefs, our practices, our teachings, and even our morals upon the people. That we are attempting to control our culture and practices. Well, the pushback from that in society is this development of making God in our own image. I can believe in God in my own terms, in any way or manner I choose. Or I don't have to fit into your mold of how you think I should behave or act, even if that means I don't believe in God at all. In our world today, we are confronted with the fact that the devil's main weapon against us is temptation. But the problem is that the world really doesn't take the devil seriously. How many of you heard about the new television series on Fox Television called Lucifer? It is what you might think of. It is the devil who gets bored with being in hell and he comes to live on earth. And the main character, well, he's kind of charming. He has a mystery about him. He's attracted to other people. And apparently in the storyline, he's here to help other people. One of the main lines is that he's helping the Los Angeles Police Department solving a murder. In short, it glorifies the devil. Well, when the devil is seen in such obvious, direct forms, and even in some of the horror films that we see, people don't take the devil seriously. Because the problem is, the devil doesn't work in those direct forms. It's in a very subtle and quiet, unseen way in which the devil attacks us, behind the scenes, away from our consciousness. Yet the temptations have all the same goal. The temptation is to focus on ourselves. The temptation is to hoard all of our resources, keeping it for us and for our families, instead of addressing the needs in our community. The temptation is for you and I to be afraid, to live our lives in fear, instead of trusting God. Temptation is that we become discouraged, we become disheartened, because our self-image doesn't compare to anything we see portrayed in movies and on advertisements. And we have this lack of self-esteem. We do not see ourselves in the beauty and the goodness in which God created us. And the final, maybe greatest temptation is that we fear death, instead of trusting the promise that Christ gives us in eternal life. See, the good news for you and I in today's text is that our Lord Jesus faced those direct temptations, that confrontation. And we can see that Jesus easily defeats the devil. And the first valuable thing that we need to take away from the text is that very fact, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Himself faced temptations. Hebrews 4:15 states, Jesus had been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18, as a result, He is able to help those who are tempted. He is defeated. The Son of God has given us that freedom or forgiveness. But the second important thing to take away is this overall defeat of evil. The text says that the devil flies away from Jesus and waits for an opportune time to come back at him. And it would appear as if the devil's plan in that opportune time was fulfilled when Jesus was nailed to the cross. When he was lifted up on that hard wood of the cross, when Jesus breathed his last and was taken down from that old rugged cross and laid into that tomb, it seems as if the devil's work had been completed. That's not the end of the story. Remember that the devil is defeated. Jesus springs forth from that tomb. He is risen. And in that act, He opens up for you and I the gates to eternal life, to a life full of joy and wholeness and happiness and peace. With a life in which we are reunited with those we love, that we have the end of the struggle of life, of pain and of hurt. Jesus defeated the temptations. Defeated them to open us to the way to eternal life. What is gained for us through the cross and an empty tomb. And He grants us that power and that gift in His name. Amen.